Well, if you have your Bible with you this evening, please turn with me to Micah chapter 2. Micah chapter 2. We'll be concluding the chapter here tonight as we consider verses 6 through 13. 6 through 13. Join me as we ask for the Lord's blessing on the reading and preaching of his word. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we come to your word in Micah, we do pray that you would bless your people and open our hearts to receive it. Lord, we pray for your Spirit's work in applying it to our hearts and lives, that we would see, that we would understand, and that we would know how we are to walk and obey you, considering all that you reveal to us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Micah chapter 2, beginning in verse 6. Hear now the very word of God, written for you and for me today. Do not prattle, you say to those who prophesy, so they shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult. You who are named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord restricted? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? Lately my people have risen up as an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from those who trust you as they pass by, like men returned from war. The women of my people you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children you have taken away my glory forever. Arise and depart, for this is not your rest. Because it is defiled, it shall destroy, yes, with utter destruction. If a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie, saying, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be the prattler of this people. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture. They shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them. He will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Amen. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word, and may he add his blessing to the reading of it to us. Well, people of God, as sinners and students of the word, we have both knowledge and experience to teach us that spiritual blindness and rebellion go hand in hand as we consider the sad presence of sin and its growth as it is nursed. We've learned from Micah and the other prophets that such blindness and rebellion provokes divine justice. Indeed, it does. God doesn't let sin, especially that among his people, fester unchecked. As God prepares to bring his justice to bear, he sends his prophets to sound the alarm, to sound the trumpet and warn the people of what's to come. And as we've seen with Micah, the coming judgment can be burdensome, even for the prophet proclaiming it. As Micah grieved by God's grace, he also was bold in pronouncing the woe of devastating judgment against the people. Remember that God justly devises disaster against nations when evil is in their midst. And this is who Micah addressed with his woe, isn't it? He addressed the evildoers, especially those who were off the chain, so to speak, in their evildoing. for the rich were devising their evil plans at night on their beds to further oppress the poor the next morning. And what would they do? They covetously and violently took the poor's fields from them. They robbed them of their possessions. And therefore, God would destroy and take everything from the oppressors to the degree that apostates would have their possessions and they would never get their property back. Their property would never be reassigned. And so as Micah brings this first cycle of penalty and promise to a close in this chapter, he identifies false prophets. And Micah speaks to what they did and the consequences of it, along with closing the chapter with a good word of promised restoration. And so let's look at the prattling prophets in verses 6 through 9. Micah's words of arise and depart in 10 and 11, as well as the restoration of the remnant in verses 12 through 13. And so he speaks about the prattling in verse 6. He says, "Do not prattle, you say, to those who prophesy, so they shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult." Now, in many ways, beloved, it wasn't only the poor who were oppressed. The godly prophets were too, except not by the rich, but by false prophets. We see that here. God gives his divine commission to his called prophets to prophesy. Ezekiel 21, verses 1 and 2, we read there, "And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face towards Jerusalem, preach against the holy places, and prophesy against the land of Israel." And yet, sinful people reject them and their message. We see this in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 10. "Who say to the seers, do not see, and to the prophets, do not prophesy to us right things. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy deceits." Beloved, we see sinful people trying to go against, to coerce, to influence, to change the words, the path, the message of God's messengers to them so that they can feel better, so that they're not challenged or convicted, so that they don't have to have heavy consciences to bear against them in their wickedness and sin. They would rather the smooth things, the deceitful things. Lie to us. Flatter us. We don't want to know the truth. In Amos chapter 2, beginning in verse 11, we read this, "I raised up some of your sons as prophets, and some of your young men as Nazirites. Is it not so, O you children of Israel, says the Lord? But you gave the Nazirites wine to drink, and commanded the prophets, saying, do not prophesy." Same problem there with Amos. Here, Micah says the false prophets, likely those who supported the land robbers, the false prophets told the true prophets, even Micah himself, don't prattle or don't preach. Prattling is telling a long discourse of foolishness. That's what it means. Interestingly, the Hebrew word literally means dripping or dropping. The words of the prophets were divine words, and they were delivered as divine sermons that dropped from heaven like dew upon the hearts of the people. The false prophets hated every word of that, every drop. Beloved, we see this quite often. Things haven't changed in our world today. Do not prophesy. Don't preach at me. And if you do preach, I do want the flattering things. I do want the smooth things. I want that. I want you to make me feel good about myself and where I am now. Don't tell me that I have to change. Don't tell me that I am a sinner in the hands of a holy God. Don't tell me and don't preach at me, especially with the Word of God and the truth of it. Similar to the Apostle Paul telling the Corinthians that the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. Micah's proclamation of sin, repentance, and coming judgment was likely received in their ears as foolishness. Stop prophesying, they said, as they attempted to silence the prophets. And they were trying to make themselves an authority over God. Here, God has sent these men to declare his word to the people, and they wanted to have authority over God and say, yeah, you men, go away. Don't speak to us. Matthew Henry says it rightly. Those that hate to be reformed hate to be reproved. And this is so true. Those that hate to be reformed hate to be reproved. The false prophets were fine with their own religious prophecies and those who would condemn them. They were fine with those who loved the lies that they proclaimed. They loved the flattery, especially being flattered in their own sin. And again, thinking about it in a little bit different way, it is very true that sinners love to have their ears tickled. We love being told what we want to hear while wallowing in the pit, seeking to silence those who have come to rescue them from the pit. Remember God's words to the wicked in Psalm 50, verse 16. But to the wicked, God says, "What right do you have to declare my statutes or take my covenant in your mouth, seeing you hate instruction and you cast my words behind you? When you saw a thief, you consented with him and have been a partaker with adulterers. You give your mouth to evil and your tongue frames deceit. You sit and speak against your brother. You slander your mother's own son. These things you have done, notice, and I keep silent," or "I kept silent. You thought that I was altogether like you, but I will rebuke you and set them in order before your eyes." Beloved, the Lord through Micah therefore said, "So they shall not prophesy to you. They shall not return insult for insult." They wouldn't say anything further, and they wouldn't return evil for evil. They would leave these wicked people in their cesspool to receive the full judgment of God, unless the Lord would have mercy upon them. And Micah goes on to ask three important questions to press their consciences. Look at verse 7. "You who are named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord restricted?" Question 2. "Are these his doings?" Question 3. "Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly?" My friends, the house of Jacob was the house who received the Lord's favor and blessing. And yet, though they bore a great name, as many within were degenerate, they showed themselves to be the enemies of God and his prophets. The first question was, is the Spirit of the Lord restricted? By silencing the prophets, did they really think that they had the upper hand against God and the proclamation of his word? By silencing the prophets, could they silence the Holy Spirit? No. They were foolish to believe so. As he will say, and does say in a few moments, they're the prattlers here. They're the foolish ones. But his second question was, are these his doings? Were the people living lives that were in accordance with and in obedience with God's law? Far from it. And therefore, it was no wonder that the prophets handled them so roughly. It was no wonder that the false prophets thought the words of God's prophets were so rigid. Do not my words do good to him who walks uprightly? Yes, they do. Praise the Lord for that, beloved. The words of the Lord to the upright are full of truth and mercy. The words of the Lord to the upright are full of grace. And indeed, those words are those which point us to the Lord Jesus Christ. In Psalm 25, verse 10, we read, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth to such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. The words of God as preached by his servants convict, encourage, comfort, and move the righteous. Each drip is so good to our lives and souls. It's sweeter than honey on the honeycomb. But the false prophets knew nothing of this. They never had such an experience with God's words. They were drips of acid upon their heads, the aroma of death leading to death. And this reminds us, beloved, that the gospel of Jesus Christ, when preached rightly, is not received the same by all. Some believe, and some do not. And we must not change the gospel to bring about the effect that we desire. We don't water it down, we don't change it, we don't make it into some other gospel just because we want to draw the crowds or work up the frenzies, or have a greater response when there's really no change of heart by the work of God. No, we don't change the gospel. The gospel of Christ must consistently be preached rightly in its purity, knowing that it is the Lord's work. In terms of how it is received and how it works in the hearts of the people that hear. The Lord, through Micah, then gives a pointed wartime description of what his people had done. Look at verse 8. He said, lately my people have risen up like an enemy. You pull off the robe with the garment from those who trust you as they pass by, like men returned from war. You, he was saying, who should have been a beloved friend, rose up like an enemy against those who they knew, those who trusted them, but quickly learned that they had changed. They weren't who they thought they were, in truth. They were no longer defenders of the righteous, but they were now shamers of the righteous. It was like men feeling secure, returning from battle, only to be stripped and humiliated by materialistic oppressors at home. They thought they were in the home stretch. They thought they were coming back to a place of peace. And what they found was humiliation. Even the women and children weren't free from the oppression and shame. As if wicked men would only go after other men, the men of war, deal harshly with them, but leave the women and children alone. Oh no. They weren't free from such treatment. Look at verse 9. The women of my people you cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children you have taken away my glory forever. It was inhuman to deal like this barbarously with women. But that which especially aggravated it was that they were the women of God's people, whom they knew to be under his protection, as if the Lord wouldn't know what they did, as if he wouldn't see, and as if he wouldn't respond. And therefore, what were the people to do? Arise and depart, he says in verse 10, for this is not your rest. Because it is defiled, it shall destroy, yes, with utter destruction. Micah said they needed to be ready to leave their land as they would be forced out of it, like they forced the women and children out of their homes. Get ready, it's coming. You're gone. Micah said, for this was not their rest. And this should remind us of the rest that God promised and promises his people, which theme is tracked throughout the Old Testament and New Testament scriptures. As we know, God promised his Old Testament people a place of peace and a place of rest in the promised land. And this promise was conditioned on the people's obedience. God would give them the land. It would be a place of rest that was free from war and full of God's presence. However, since the people were covenantally unfaithful to God, he removed them from the land. We see this in Leviticus 26. Micah said this wasn't their rest for the same reason. Their sin defiled it. It would therefore be utterly destroyed. And Micah exposes and warns of the false prophet's message in verse 11. Notice, if a man should walk in a false spirit and speak a lie and say, I will prophesy to you of wine and drink, even he would be a prattler of the people. Paul taught Timothy of such times and men in 2 Timothy 4, verses 3 and 4. He said, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn away their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Beloved, who is the true prattler? Who is the real fool? The false prophet says, they are baseless liars, not filled with the Holy Spirit who inspired the true prophets. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah 5, beginning in verse 30, an astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests rule by their own power. It's all gone to pieces. All of the leadership is corrupt. All of the leaders of God's people are corrupt. And my people love to have it so. What? How terrible and tragic. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Beloved, this is an important question that Micah's audience needed to hear an answer as well. This is the situation. Your love has been turned to another. Your love is full and filled and fueled by corruption. But what will you do in the end? Judgment is coming. And so this was the penalty of the first cycle. But notice then that Micah proclaims the promise. gloriously in verse 12, the Lord says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together like sheep of the fold, like a flock in the midst of their pasture, and they shall make a loud noise because of so many people. Beloved, gloriously, God made a sure promise in the midst of coming judgment, speaking to the visible Old Testament church. God proclaims his enduring faithfulness to his covenant people. After the exile, God would restore and assemble the true Jacob, the Old Testament believers who constituted the remnant of Israel. And Psalm 23 should come to our mind as we consider these words, as God would gather them as the good shepherd in two ways. Notice, first, gathering them together in his fold for protection. And secondly, that fold would be in the midst of his green pastures. Notice the wonderful descriptive marker there. Since there would be so many of them, their being together would make a loud noise. This was no private thing. This was no secret matter. The great grace and work of the Lord in bringing together his people and restoring them would be clear. People would know. They would hear. We need to therefore praise the Lord for his mercy and saving grace. Praise the Lord for his faithful love seen in delivering his people by our only good shepherd and mediatorial King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Micah prophesies the great shepherd king, notice, breaking through enemy defenses to deliver and lead his people in victory. This is a clear picture and prophecy of Christ. Look at verse 13. The one who breaks open will come up before them. He will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. Here is the Lord Christ, the victorious king, breaking through and leading his people. See how great here in this passage, beloved. See how great sin and oppression is often fueled and supported by those who are supposed to help, by those who are supposed to lead and direct the people, but truly harm people through their lies. See the great suffering endured by God's true people and the grave penalty that God would bring upon the nation for their sin and corruption. But also see the faithfulness of God. See the faithfulness of God to judge. See the faithfulness of God in chastening his own. See the faithfulness of God to deliver and restore his covenant people. Praise God for Jesus. Praise him for his grand work of breaking through Satan's defenses and gaining the victory. As Jesus can't be restrained or silenced, neither is his spirit. Jesus isn't defeated, but he is the victorious king who broke open the doors, who burst our bonds, and as our head leads us through and out of the gates. He is the king that goes before us. He is the king that leads us as the victor and as the loving good shepherd who does so with his flock. Well, we will continue in our second cycle of penalty and promise next time, Lord willing, as we begin chapter 3. Praise God for his word. Let's pray together. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this, your word, the great truths, the great promises, the great picture of Christ that we see therein. Lord Jesus, we praise you and give you all the glory as you are our head, as you are our King, the victorious one who leads us as your people, who goes before us, who is valiant and compassionate and caring and true, who is redeemed and loves his people to the end. We thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Well,